With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
You're sitting there thinking, you know, Pastor, how come you've gone through 3 weeks and you haven't preached on personal stewardship? I have actually preached on corporate or church stewardship. The church being a good steward of our God-given mission. The church being a good steward of our God-given message. The church being found faithful as stewards of our God-given ministries. Now, why is that? They're inseparable. They're interdependent.
Welcome. And stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today, Harry brings us part one of the message, Found Faithful in Ministry, as we continue our series on lifestyle stewardship. A church committed to faithful stewardship of their God-given ministry will manifest that commitment in these four ministries. Their ministry of outreach, gospel evangelism to those outside of Christ. Their ministry of inreach, enfolding new believers into the body of Christ. Their ministry of downreach, equipping as we teach them to observe all that Jesus commanded. And their ministry of upreach, exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ in genuine biblical worship. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're looking at verses 16 through 20. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part one of the message, Found Faithful in Ministry.
Would you look with me in Matthew 28 and verse 16? Now Jesus is resurrected, but not yet ascended. This is one of his 15 appearances that is recorded in God's word. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain. Interesting, the mountain. See the definite article, not a mountain, the mountain. My guess is that's probably the mountain where Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, or the Mountain of Transfiguration, or that mountain may have been both of those, and both of those events might have taken place on the same mountain. We're not sure, but there's something that had become the mountain there in Galilee outside of Capernaum. Jesus directed them there, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Well, what do you do with doubts? You assuage them. Jesus does through the ministry of the word. And that's what happens next. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God abides forever. By his grace and mercy, may his word be preached for you. And may I ask you to keep your Bible open there, please. Please keep it open. As I was anticipating this third and final sermon, the stewardship of being found faithful on mission, on message, and now in ministry, there was a couple of events from my childhood that came to my mind. Can I share one of them at the beginning and one at the end? Here's the one at the beginning. When I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina, I was born and I didn't have any siblings for 5 years. Then, actually 4.5 years. And then my sister was born. But I was an only child for 4 years. And so I got used to my father and mother's pattern. Now, our ancestral home is Augusta, Georgia, and then we had many friends in Charleston, South Carolina, and then also in other places. So my family would take a family trip. Now, my dad and mom worked, obviously. They were just kind of blue-collar, white-collar folks. Dad was in baseball, but we weren't able to go take a day off to travel. So we always went at night. We would travel at night. But even if we could have gotten a day off. Daddy and mother would have gone at night. I learned to do the same thing, and there was one reason. That means it won't be long till the kid goes to sleep, and we will be able to do the trip without 3,600 questions such as, are we there yet? And we would go at night, and that's the way we would travel, is to go at night. And so we'd do that. Therefore, I had the experience that some of you here will never have, and that was the wonderful experience. Your SUVs are poverty stricken because they do not provide this. And that is taking the trip in the back seat, up on the top of the seat with the window over you, and you can feel the cold glass and look at the stars as you travel down the highway. That's what I got to do for 5 years, and then my sister was born, and she got the upper bunk. And my dad and mom said, now you're moving to the floorboard. That's where I went, was to the floorboard. Now, my mother was so gracious because she would pack two suitcases and put them on either side of the hump and say, see, it's going to be perfectly level. Yeah, that's really level. And I would then sleep on the floorboard with the two suitcases supposedly filling in the hump. And then my sister would get to sleep up there and feel the cold glass and look at the stars. She got the penthouse. I got the outhouse. That was the way it worked. But then I got 12 years later, I got two more sisters. And now those sisters, they got the chance to take the seats, and somehow in the two seats they slept. So the four of us would sleep in the back. Now, the only problem with the trip and all of that planning and the notion they're going to go to sleep and they'll quit arguing and, you know, get on my side, you get on your side, you know, all this stuff. And so what they figured was, this can be solved. And my mother said, first of all, high tech. My mama had a high tech gift. It's called a sketchogram or something, where you get pencil lead or something's flowing somewhere and you make a picture or something. That was our version of high tech back then. That was our video game, I guess. But then my mother's favorite was connect the dot. And so she would give us the magazine and we would connect the dots to understand what was happening. So what I want to do now is connect the dots, because some of you, with your IQ soaring way beyond mine, you're sitting there thinking, you know, Pastor, we have an every member commitment season every year, and we always use the rubric to think through. In fact, I got my card right here, time, talents, and treasure, and we do this so that the deacons can anticipate our giving and our commitments, and the elders, and with the policies of the church, we are able then to move forward. So how come you've gone through 3 weeks and you haven't preached on time or talents or treasure? And in other words, personal stewardship. What have I preached on? I have actually preached on corporate or church stewardship. The church being a good steward of our God-given mission. The church being a good steward of our God-given message. The church being found faithful as stewards of our God-given ministries. Now, why is that? Here's why. They're inseparable. They're interdependent. We can't be found faithful on mission, on message, and in ministry if you are not found faithful with the use of your God-given time and talents and treasure. It doesn't just happen. But I also want you to know, as you pray through your personal stewardship and you bring it as an offering of praise to God, who gave his Son to save us and offered himself as our Redeemer, you've got to know what it's used for. What do we do with those sacred stewardship gifts of time and talents and treasure? What is it that we do as a church? What do our elders pray over, think through? What does the staff give itself to and the deacons in their service focus upon? What is it, and how is it done, and why is it done? The two are indispensable. They're inseparable. Yes, you spend time looking at the stewardship of time, and that we've done that before. How stewardship, God has given you, every one of us, every day when we get up, we don't all have the same amount of money in the bank account, but we all got 24 hours that day. Now, what are we going to do with it? Bible says, redeem the time. How do you redeem the time? Well, the first thing out of the chute is the Lord's Day. The key to the other 6 days is the Lord's Day. That's perfectly clear in the Bible. Here's what the prophet says. The prophet says this, if you call my day a delight and turn your foot from what you do to what I call you to do, then I will cause you to ride upon the heights. You were not made to go all out 7 days a week and give an hour to Jesus on Sunday. You are called to remember the day of the Lord, the Sabbath day, to set it aside for personal rest, personal renewal, spiritual refreshment and worship. And in that, the thermostat and the template for the other 6 days are set. That's why Jesus said, I did not make man for the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath for the man. It's God's gift that orchestrates, that sets the template and the thermostat of how we use our time. And then with that kind of framework, we're able to learn the blessings of biblical priorities. What comes first? What comes second according to God's word? What comes first and how does it lead to second? And how does that lead to third? And why are those things important? And how I learn to use my time to nurture my marriage, because I know my parenting is not going to be effective unless my marriage is where it ought to be. We learn those priorities. How do I prepare myself to serve the Lord? And that's what makes me an employee who does this work heartily as unto the Lord. So we learn to set the priorities of life and establish the margins of life. And if you don't, let me assure you, there's a world that will take all of your time away from you. Or you will redeem the time under the Lordship of Christ as a faithful steward. And it begins with the Lord's Day. Doesn't end there, but it begins there. And then what about talents? You got physical talents and spiritual talents. And yes, we want to be good stewards of those. You know, one of my favorite examples of this was the pastorate I had in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had a singles group, and there were just some wonderful singles, just like this singles group here, the graduates in career. But we had a group of young men, there's about four of them, and they were very gifted with their hands. They were able to work with their hands, and they loved cars. They loved to tinker with cars. And then over here was about three or four young men who had insight and the gift of mercy. And the two got together in a Bible study, and they came up with an idea of ministry. And here's what they decided to do. Every sixth Saturday, we will get together, and we will have a Saturday in which those of us who like to work on the cars will be there, and those who have this gift of mercy will welcome, and will bring in the widows and the single women, and it will be Car Care Saturday. And that's what they'll do. So the women would show up, a rose would be on their seat, something given to them to read, and somebody go to work on their car, check the air, check the pressure, do the, maybe even, I think we even went so far as an oil change after they signed a non-liability agreement at that point. But those were the things that were done. Did you see how the physical talents and the spiritual gifts came together? Well, that's what happens when you're a steward of talents. And then comes the whole dynamic of treasures or the finance. So not only we're stewarding our responsibilities, our relationships, but also our resources. And that is such a great joy. I am so grateful that God has worked in my life to see that glorious truth, how it's more blessed to give than to receive. Of course, first of all, he had to work in my life and tell me, you know, Harry, the tithe is not giving. If you keep the tithe, you robbed me. Now, you don't rob people if you don't give them a gift. You rob people if you keep what belongs to them. Have you ever just listened carefully the way Bruce says it each Lord's Day? Let's worship the Lord, steward worship with his tithe and our offerings. Let's come and bring praise to the Lord with his tithe and our offerings. And so we bring to God his tithe and worship. And then we bring offerings, like a faith promise offering beyond the tithe for world missions that goes 100% to that. And then we have, like the Lord, a communion, after communion, alms offering that goes 100% to mercy ministry. And all of that begins to work together. But now here's what, see, I want to connect the dots. I want you to see the nexus, the interdependency and the indispensability of this. all of that personal stewardship, as it comes in praise to God, brought into the church of Jesus Christ, which he purchased with his own blood, is then used for what that Jesus said the church is to do and say, the mission and message and ministries of the church. In other words, why is it that our elders set a policy back in 1960 with our founding pastor? Why is it that we set a policy that 50% of the financial gifts will leave here? Why is it we pray about sending out those who are gifted to go and plant churches or do missions or so? Why is that? Because we've got a mission. And when people give themselves and their time and their talents and their treasure, it's all directed to the mission, the message, and the ministries. It is inseparable. It is interdependent. We cannot do the mission with the message if the people of God do not do their time and talents and treasure. And the people of God, as they give their time and talents and treasure, do so unto Christ with the anticipation of what he will do with it through the body of Christ, his church. So here is our mission, here is our message, and here is our ministry. You know, in 1980, as I was finishing up seminary, anticipating where was I going to serve, I was really struggling. And I remember what sealed it for me. I was not born into the Presbyterian Church in America. I was born in and went to Independent Presbyterian and Bible Presbyterian Church and into the Christian Missionary Alliance. Grateful for them. But with my theology and convictions about church government, I knew I wasn't going to be able to land there. So where am I going? And so as I investigated the PCA, I'll never forget what sealed the deal. What sealed the deal for me was when I looked at the masthead of the pamphlet that was sent to me. True to the scriptures, faithful to the Reformed faith, fulfill the Great Commission. That's it. There's depth, there's breadth, and there's height. True to the scriptures. That's all I labor for in my denomination now. All I ask. True to the scriptures, the word of God alone is our only rule of faith and practice. Faithful to the Reformed faith, the reclamation from the corruption in the church of doctrine and leadership. True to the Reformed faith as it is delivered to us through the Reformation to get us back to first century biblical Christianity, apostolic vision and ministry. And fulfill the Great Commission. Right there is our mission. Right there is our message. Right there are our ministries. Let me ask you to go back to that text with me just for a moment. I want you to look at the four ministries that we have, that we are to do if we are to stay on mission and on message. Now look at it very carefully. It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Now that's a participle in the original. Can I pull a preacher deal here for you? That's a participle. In other words, can I tell you how you could translate this, and rightly so, and in fact, I think is the best translation. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. As you are going, make disciples. Now, what is our mission? The imperative is make disciples. What is our message? It is the whole counsel of God, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, the whole counsel of God, saturated in the contours and the connecting tissues of the gospel. You never go beyond the gospel, but with the whole counsel of God, you can go higher, further, deeper, and gloriously wider with the gospel. Don't go beyond it, but you go further with it. What does the gospel mean in my marriage? What does the gospel mean in my family? What does the gospel mean in parenting? What does it mean in employee, being an employer? What does it mean? It goes and equips me in all of the areas of life. That's my mission. That's our mission, make disciples. That's our message, is the whole counsel of God saturated, connected, and contoured with the gospel of saving grace. I delivered to you that of first importance, the gospel. Now, what are our ministries? The very first one. And he doesn't give it as a command. He assumes you're doing it as a believer. As you are going, evangelism, the ministry of outreach, personal evangelism. Now, please listen to me. No church can do its mission without evangelism of the message. We can't do it. And you can't do evangelism by programs. It's personal. If you and I do not share Christ with the lost, we don't do evangelism. It's not a program. We can have ministry initiatives to equip us how to do evangelism. We can have events, but you know what? If you and I aren't sharing the gospel, we don't have anybody to bring to that. It's not events that evangelize. They provide the occasion. It is not a program that evangelizes. It can provide training. It is people who go and share with others the good news. Jesus saves sinners. The whole message of God connected and contoured by the gospel of saving grace in Christ. Second ministry is not only the ministry of outreach in evangelism, but the second ministry is one of inreach. Because notice what happens. What happens when you make disciples and you go and you win people to Christ and God by His Spirit blesses you and others? Now, by the way, can I say something? Evangelism is not an event. It is a process. And I have never yet prayed with someone who gave their life to Jesus. Somebody else hadn't planted the seed before me. Conversion is a glorious moment. Evangelism is continual. You're planting, you're watering, you're cultivating. But when someone gives their life to Jesus, what do? They are enfolded into the body of Christ. You'll see throughout the book of Acts that they were baptized and added to the body of Christ. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father. This is the sign and seal of the covenant whereby the initiation of God's people formally takes place as they're brought into the body of Christ where we can love on one another, love with one another, and the world will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So this is our ministry of enfolding. One of my favorite moments when I've prayed with someone who gave their life to Jesus is to share with them John 6:47. And this is what I say to them. I say to them, maybe some of you here I've talked with when you gave your life to Christ and I had the privilege to be with you. Here's what I always do. I always tell you, go tell three people you gave your life to Jesus. And then I want you to read the Gospel of John and get back to me. But here, before you leave, I want to give you one verse from John, John 6:47. Here's what it says. Truly, truly, he who believes in me has eternal life. In Christ, this is now yours. And Jesus put two amens at the front of it. Amen, amen, I say to you. He who believes in me has eternal life. And then I say to them this. Did you know you have a new record? Your sins are gone. Your guilt and shame is gone. And the righteousness of Christ is yours? Do you know that you have a new heart? You've been born again. You're a new creation in Christ. Do you know that by God's grace, you're going to get a new mind, the mind of Christ? Do you know that you have a new life? The old has passed away, the new has come. Do you know that you have a new home? You're headed to a new heavens and a new earth and a place that He is preparing for you? And do you know you've got a new family for you and your family? It is the family of God, the forever family of God. You are brought in, and we are called to love one another. We not only have the ministry of outreach and evangelism and the ministry of inreach and enfolding, but thirdly, we've got the ministry of equipping as we are teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. We take the whole counsel of God with the connecting tissues and the leading edge of the gospel of saving grace in Christ and begin to teach people all that God has for them. Here's who you are in Christ. Here's what you do for Christ. Here's a Christian husband. Here's a Christian wife. Here's a Christian single. Here's a Christian employer. Here's a Christian employee. Here's the Christian in the public square and politics. Here is Christian statesmanship. Here is Christian encouragement. Here is Christian counseling of one another. Here is the way you live. And we're going to equip you so that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do from now on, you can do to the glory of God. This is what we do. So we do this ministry of equipping.
Churches must pursue faithful stewardship of the ministries of outreach, inreach, downreach, and upreach, gospel evangelism, enfolding new believers into the body of Christ, equipping and teaching, and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ in worship. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Found Faithful in Ministry, or simply ask for message number 15940. Again, that's message number 15940. We do request $5 when you request today's CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. If someone came up to you and said, "I know you're a Christian, but tell me, explain to me exactly what is it that you believe?" Now, most of us could say, "Well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and He's my Savior." But what else do you believe? Pastor teacher Harry Reeder says of the Apostles' Creed, "It is a gift of God's providence to His church, containing essential foundations of the faith once for all delivered to the saints as an instrument of discipleship, confession, and unity." In a nutshell, it summarizes in three concise sentences what the Christian believes. Harry has developed an in-depth 20-part series on the Apostles' Creed that every believer ought to have as a part of their personal study. Know the Apostles' Creed, and you will always be able to share what you believe. You can obtain the entire series by going to briarwood.org/Apostles Creed CD. Again, that's briarwood.org/Apostles Creed CD. We hope that In Perspective is encouraging you in your walk with Christ. We would love to hear back from you. Write Harry at In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.